Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Jude. Jude, which comes right before Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Jude is the second to the last book in the Bible. A book that is 25 verses long. And this morning we'll be reading those 25 verses for our text. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Thus the reading of God's Word as it comes to us this morning from the book of Jude. I have included an outline of this sermon in your bulletins to help you follow along a little bit, as this morning's sermon will be somewhat of an introductory sermon to the book. How many sermons have you heard in your Christian life on the book of Jude? If you are like most Christians, you have probably heard not very many. The book of Jude has been described by many scholars and commentators as one of the most neglected books of the New Testament. There are not very many commentaries on Jude. For the most part, the theological world has ignored the book or keeps their distance from it. And one of the reasons that the book of Jude has so often been ignored is because there is particular content in this book that many people struggle to understand. One particular verse is verse 9. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Nowhere else in Scripture are we told about the archangel Michael disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. Other parts of Scripture reveal to us as Moses had looked upon the promised land, God, we're told, buried Moses and no one could find his body. That's all we're told. Now in Jude, verse 9, we're told about the archangel Michael disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. A verse like that can raise many questions and perhaps doctrinal issues. When I was in seminary, I wrote a paper on the book of Jude, and I distinctly remember going into Professor Dennison's office and struggling with verse 9. I asked him, "Mr. Dennison, I cannot understand this verse. What is the Lord trying to tell us here?" And Mr. Dennison's answer was, "That's something you'll have to ask Jesus when you get to heaven." In other words, there are certain parts of this book which the Scriptures do not completely explain to us. And because of verses like this, many scholars, many commentators do not seek to understand or to study this book because they know they will not be able to answer some of its mysteries. But this morning we begin our study in the book of Jude, recognizing that this is an important book of the Bible. Yes, it is neglected. Yes, there are perhaps verses in this book we will not completely understand. Yet at the same time, Jude has an important message for the church. It is a message in which he is calling the church to perseverance, to faithfulness in an ungodly culture and an ungodly world. A warning to be careful about those, even in the church among you, who could lead you and others astray. And so this morning as we begin, point A, we must recognize that the book of Jude is, first of all, one of the general epistles. Now, when we open our New Testaments, we see various books that God has given us, and we are very familiar with the Pauline epistles. The Pauline epistles are letters written by the Apostle Paul. Epistles means it is a letter from an apostle being sent out from that apostle, inspired by the Word of God, to a particular church. And the Pauline epistles are each written to a specific person, Titus or Timothy, or perhaps a church or a city, as we see with the books of Corinthians and Ephesians and Philippians. In the Pauline epistles, we are clearly given direction as to who the letter is being sent to, whether a particular person or a particular city. But in our Bibles, we also have what we call the general epistles, the books of Hebrews through Jude. And the reason they are called general epistles is because we are not sure from that particular letter who that letter is written to. We're not sure because the author does not tell us. He does not start out his letter by saying, "I'm writing to you, Timothy. I'm writing to you, Titus." He does not start out his letter saying, "I write to you, the city of Corinth," or the church in Ephesus. There is no mention in the book of Jude as to its audience or to who it's being sent to. And because Jude is one of the general epistles, we must not try to specifically say or understand its particular context. We simply don't know. That's why it's called a general epistle, meaning it is generally sent to the church. To the church in Jude's day and to the church in our day. But one thing the book of Jude does give us as a general epistle, it tells us who the author is. The book of Hebrews does not give us an author. That is a mystery which even today has not been solved. But the book of Jude does tell us who the author is. The author is Jude. And so verse 1 begins, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, and a brother of James. Jude is a familiar name in the New Testament day. In many ways, the name Jude or Judas could be translated either way from the Greek word. Jude and Judas are similar names. And as the author of your English version has titled it Jude, it could just have easily been described as Judas. Well, then, who is this Jude or Judas, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James? Well, in the New Testament, we are told of five different people that are named James. Some of them we know very little about other than the mention of their name. But there is Jesus' disciples, John and his brother James. There is also the most famous James, is the James who is the brother of Jesus. Now, I want to be careful how I say that this morning, because, of course, Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit inside of his mother Mary. But the New Testament does tell us that Joseph and Mary went on to have other children. And the James, who is the brother of Jesus, had a brother also named Judas or Jude. You can find that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 55. In Matthew 13, verse 55, the people are challenging Jesus' authority. And they say to one another, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" James is the oldest of the half-brothers of Jesus. James and Judas have the same mother as Jesus, Mary. This James, the half-brother of Jesus, is the same James who wrote the book of James that we find as another one of the general epistles. This James, the half-brother of Jesus, is the same James who is the leader of the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15, who leads the Council of Jerusalem. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who the book of Galatians tells us, even though he wasn't a disciple, became an apostle. An apostle, one of those who were first-hand witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as Jude begins his letter, he wants to establish his authority and why people would listen to him and pay attention to his message. Jude is not an apostle. If he was an apostle, he would not say in verse 17, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold." Jude is not an apostle, but he is a brother of an apostle. He is the brother of the apostle James, who wrote the book of James and who is the head of the church in Jerusalem. This James is the only James we know of with a brother named Jude or Judas. So Jude begins his letter saying, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James the Apostle. But if Jude is trying to establish authority, and we learned from the Gospel of Matthew that Jude is also the half-brother of Jesus, why then doesn't he say that? Why doesn't he begin his letter, Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ? Why does he even refer to James at all? Why not simply say, you better listen to me because I'm the half-brother of Jesus Christ the Lord? Instead, Jude begins his letter by saying, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. You see, Jude is trying to establish a fine line between what he has to say. One of the issues that is going on in the church to which he writes is a challenge to the apostles' authority and what the apostles have said. There are those within this body, this church, that think they know more than the apostles, that think what God has revealed to them is greater than what the apostles have said. And so Jude begins his letter describing himself as the brother of the apostle James. You better listen to me. But at the same time, do not compare me with Jesus Christ. Do not think of me who thinks only of himself. Do not uplift me to the level of the Son of God. I am not the brother of Jesus Christ. I am the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. Now this is part of the problem with those that Jude is rebuking. These people in the church, verse 16, boast about themselves. They flatter others for their own advantage. If one of them was the brother of James, they'd let everybody know. They'd tell everybody that they were the brother of Jesus Christ, one of these people in the church. You better listen to me because I'm Jesus' brother. Jude has no part of that. He establishes his connection with the apostles, the apostle James, and he specifically tells the people that he is a servant of Christ. Even though he could claim to be his brother, he does not, because he is a servant and not worthy to be called his brother. So Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, is the author. What is it that's going on in the church that he is so concerned about? What is his warning that he has for the church that they must know, that they must pay attention to? What is his message that he so carefully has described himself and to who he is and his role in all of this? Verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. So Jude is writing to his dear friends, his beloved. He is prepared to write to them some doctrinal issue about the salvation that they share. But something's come up. He is urging them now to contend for the faith that he describes, not just any faith, that was once for all entrusted to the saints. This is a faith of the apostles. This is the doctrine of the apostles that they gave to the church. The apostles, the first-hand witnesses of Jesus Christ, who wrote the various portions of the Bible and the scriptures, who by the Spirit of God has taught the early church about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That faith, which was given to the apostles once for all, is being challenged. Who's doing it? Verse 4. Certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. Within the church body, certain men who do not belong to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ, their condemnation was written about long ago. They've secretly slipped in within the church, within the body. His description of them is threefold. They are godless men. They don't believe in God. They change the grace of God into a license for immorality. In other words, they claim to be Christians. They claim to know the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ. But they change it into a license for immorality. In other words, I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I can live and do whatever I want. I'm saved. I don't have to worry about salvation. I belong to Jesus, so I can disobey. I don't have to follow the Word of God and what it teaches concerning God and His commandments. I'm a saved sinner. Jesus has saved me, and I can live and do and act as I want. And in doing this, verse 3, they are denying Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In other words, they deny Jesus Christ altogether. What are they doing? Verse 10. These men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. He describes them as animals who act on their instincts. They don't think about what the Bible says. They don't think about what the Word of God says. They act like animals. They take what they want. They do things by instinct. They don't think carefully about what they're doing or who they might be hurting or what the implications of what they do might be. They don't care what God's Word has said. They do what they want and live as they want, these very things that are destroying them. In other words, the problem that is being faced in Jude is the faith and the scriptures that was once for all given to the saints is being challenged. It's not that these people don't know what it says, but they don't want to listen to the apostles. They don't want to listen to the Word of God. They don't want to obey what God says. Yes, the Bible says you may not do this. Their answer is, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. You ask yourself, how do they justify this? How can they reach these conclusions? Just rejecting the Bible. And by what authority do they think that they can turn the scriptures and the grace of Jesus Christ into a license for immorality in doing what is wrong? Well, if you look at verse 8, Jude tells you, in the very same way these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. Jude describes them in that verse as dreamers. The Greek word implies those who think of their own revelation. They know what the scriptures say, but they claim that God's Spirit continues to reveal to them what the Word of God should say. Yes, the saints have told us this. Yes, the apostles have given us the Word of God, and this is what it said. But the Spirit continues to work today. The Spirit has revealed to me what is right and wrong. And God would not want to stop me from doing what my heart desires. Yes, I know Jesus. I believe He died on the cross. But I want to live and act as I want. I do not want to deny myself. And it's okay, because God's Spirit has told me it's okay. You see, there is a challenge to authority going on here. In verse 12, Jude describes them as shepherds who feed only themselves. In other words, they are challenging the authority of the apostles. They are challenging the authority of the Word of God. They think that as God's Spirit reveals right and wrong to them, they can do and live as they please, as long as they think God's Spirit has told them as they've dreamed it up. They are boasters about themselves, verse 16. They flatter others for their own advantage. Listen to me. Pay attention to what I have to say. Don't listen to those apostles. Don't listen to the Word of God. We said at the beginning that the book of Jude is one of the most neglected books in the New Testament. But as you understand Jude's message, I think you can see this morning how relevant this book is. Jude is writing about people who challenge the Scriptures and the Word of God. People who want to say, well, yes, the apostles said that and the Word of God said that, but that's old-fashioned. We've got to live in our world, in our culture. God wouldn't want us to be different from others or to live different from others. We can live and do and say what we want. Never mind what the Scriptures say. That's the message of Jude and his warning in his general epistle to the church then and the church today. Jude's warning is that the saints need to persevere, that the saints do not follow these teachers and people that think this way, that they not be led away from the Word of God and God's grace and His salvation in Jesus Christ by their immorality, by living as they desire and not according to God's Word. And so, as Jude concludes his letter, verse 20, he tells his friends to build themselves up in the most holy faith, to pray in the Holy Spirit, to keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Jude's instructions to the church that faces these difficulties is that they hold on to their faith, that they cling to Jesus Christ, that they be kept in God's love, and that they trust and know that Jesus will and can do it. In his doxology in verse 24, the comfort and the strength that the believer finds in Christ is presented. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. The message of Jude is a message of perseverance. It's a message to the church not to fall into the false teachings that may be in the church, that are affected by the culture even today, but to hold on to that faith, to hold on to the Scriptures that was once for all given to the church and the saints, and to pay attention to God's authority that He has given to them through those Scriptures, through the apostles, and through His church. May we heed Jude's warning. May we listen to what he has called us to do. May we find our comfort and strength in our Savior alone. Amen. Father in heaven, as we have begun this morning our study of the book of Jude, we are thankful for his warning. We are thankful for his comforting words. For we know that we belong to Jesus Christ, and he has kept us and bought us and taken us to himself. And we pray that as we live in this world, as we see others who claim to know you but don't live like they do, may we not fall into their errors, into their ways. May we not suffer the punishments in which Jude has described from those in the past who had the word but failed to live and understand it. We pray that you would keep us, strengthen us, help us as your church to find our hope and encouragement in Jude's exhortation that we would hold on to our Savior and live our lives out of his grace forevermore. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.